Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
We're talking about lions and bears trusting the process. Someone say, trust the process. And we've been looking at the iconic story of David, the life of David, but not particularly, which is mostly commonly preached, which is where David takes down Goliath. But we're looking at the process of what led up to David taking down Goliath. So I think a lot of times we sometimes measure our life by the big moments, but the truth is life becomes big when we take care of the small things that lead up to the big thing. I'll take the two amens, all right? And so the Bible says that David took down the lion and the bear, which qualified him to take down Goliath. And I think sometimes, you know, we will not become who God called us to be by avoiding things, but going through the process God has for us, because God has a plan for our life, but he also has a process. And so just tell your neighbor, say, trust the process. Come on, Tim, say, trust the process. And so today I want to give that second installment on the message we started last week here, Naysayers and Lion Slayers. If you got your Bibles, grab them and go with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you didn't get a message outline when you walked in, ushers will hand that to you. Points to my message as well as the verses we'll be reading together for this morning's teaching of God's Word. And once you got your message outline and your Bible, I know it's a full house. Could you stand to your feet with me as we like to stand for the reading of God's Word? And I know you feel like you're sitting and standing. We're just giving you a squat workout. Helping you out today. Come on now. Like, I skipped leg day, not at church. Come on, man. You ain't skipping leg day at church. But 1 Samuel 17, we're going to start from verse number 32. And I want you to see here, what we're jumping into is a conversation that David is having with Saul, who is the present king at the time. And David is going to make his case, if you have you, as to why he is qualified to take down the Goliath. And watch this conversation here as it unfolds. In verse 32, the Bible reads like, it says, David said to Saul, he said, let no one lose heart on the account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. But watch verse 33, the naysayer Saul. Watch what Saul says. You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's a naysayer. That's a naysayer. That is a naysayer right there. He's like, nah, you can't do it. Watch where David reaches into. David doesn't reach into his future, but David reaches into his past. Okay, what he has been through. And he says in verse number 34, he says, but David said to Saul, he said, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, he said, I went after it and I struck it and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it and I killed it. And verse 36 says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. Notice David says, just like God had me take down the lion and the bear, Goliath will come down. I want to talk to you today at the message I've entitled Naysayers and Lion Slayers, part number two, as we are called to be lion slayers. Any lion slayers in the house? Come on, somebody. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Bow your head one more time. We prayed all over the service, but we can't pray enough. Father, we saturate this service with prayer. You said, let your house be called the house of prayer, Father. And so yet now our earnest request, Father, is as we come into the teaching of the Word of God, may our hearts be open, our minds be alert, our ears be open to our faith, Father, to receive what the Holy Spirit would have to say to us, God. My prayer is let the people of God hear the voice within the voice. You, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, God. May the word penetrate our minds, God, into the deep cataracts of our soul and our spirit, Holy Spirit, that we may maximize our faith and minimize our fears and step into all that you've called us to step into. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Somebody say, amen. Come on, give God one more hand clap. You may be seated. Tell the person next to you, be a lion slayer. And I won't be a naysayer, just say that, all right? Welcome all those who have watched on our program, A Heart After God, as well as hear this on our podcast. You are in the room with us, amen. Well, let me recap just for a quick 60 seconds, give us a little runway, and we'll jump right into today's teaching. But last week, if you perhaps missed it, you can visit our podcast and hear it, while you're working out, while you're driving to work in that traffic, or just listen to it, at your house, what have you. And you can also view it online. But last week, we started talking about this concept of how David was a lion slayer. And we've been looking at the processes that David has gone through and really correlated how God has processes for us. Okay? And God will place us in seasons and places of our life to go through a process so that we can fully develop into the person God called us to be. And we zoomed into the life of David. However, we zoomed in to not the quintessential highlight moment of when David takes down Goliath, but kind of the before, you know, what happens in behind closed doors? What happens when David is getting prepared? And we shared how David, the scripture reveals to us that as we just read, is that David started to, you know, face Goliath, but David reaches into his past to qualify him to take down what is in his present. Okay. He reached into that reservoir. If God did it then, he can do it again. And he reaches into it and he says, just like God helped me kill the lion and the bear, God's gonna help me kill this Goliath. But he also reveals to us the plan of attack that took place. And the Bible says that David went after the lion. He didn't run from the lion, he ran to the lion, or he ran after the lion. And I told you last week that if we're gonna become lion slayers, that we need to be people that run to it, not from it. And the question I bids answering is, what in our life are we running from that we should be running to? Okay? This is the crossroad of a believer, is am I gonna run from stuff or am I gonna run to stuff? Because there is a present-day naysayer that may not be the person next to you, but there is a present-day naysayer, and his name is Satan. His name is the devil. And the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. And he will tell you, you won't, you can't, you'll never. And we got to realize that naysayer, it may not be King Saul, but it might be somebody that, it might be even yourself. How many sometimes we talk ourselves out of some of the greatest things? Tell your neighbor, he's preaching to you. Just kidding. Come on, somebody. All right. We talk ourselves out of it, right? We naysay ourselves. And so we realize that this goes on, and this is a conversation that oftentimes we will battle with every day of our heart or every day of our life when it comes to destiny moments, when it comes to moments that God has called us to do great things. And when David faced this lion, he had to ask himself the tough question. Am I gonna do what God called me to do, or am I gonna run from what God has called me to do? Because you see, David was anointed. And the scripture revealed to us in the chapter before that David got anointed to be king, that he had an anointing on his life to be king one day. And his life wasn't a progression of anointing into king, but his life was a progression of anointing shepherd field, anointing take care of sheep. And he's like, wait a minute, I thought I was anointed to be king. But David realized that his anointing would be manifested not in the biggest things of life, but sometimes our anointing will manifest first in the smallest things of life. That I have been anointed for the little thing just like the big thing. And if we're all honest, it's the little thing that you need anointing for. Yeah. Now, I don't want to take into consideration that we all know what the word anointing means. Some of you are like, annoying? They're annoying. No. What's annoying? Anointing, the Bible says, just a definition of anointing is a supernatural empowerment from God to do supernatural things. Anointing is where we stop and God takes over. It's where God does things through us that we can never do ourselves. And so we have all been anointed in this room, all of us. If you've received Jesus Christ, according to 1 John, the Bible says that we all have an anointing in Christ Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say, you're anointed if you got Jesus, okay? Now, you might not have no Crisco oil on your forehead, but you're anointed, okay, because you have Jesus. In other words, you have a supernatural power to do supernatural things for the kingdom. You have been anointed. Now, I know that right now you may not be in the fulfillment of your calling, the fulfillment of your dream, but you've got to realize that I'm anointed in the field like I'll be anointed in my future. Okay. Because, see, a lot of times we're like, you know, I have an anointing on my life. Why am I dealing with all this nonsense? The truth is, our anointing is proven not in public, it's proven in private. Who we are is proven with the small thing, not always with the big thing. And God was manifesting this anointing out of David's life in a shepherd's field, dealing with lions and bears and sheep and all of this crazy stuff. Now, when David realizes that he's anointed, now he was never trained to kill lions, but he was anointed to be king. And we've got to realize that I may not be trained to do all this, but I've been anointed to walk like the king would have me walk. I don't got to deal with all this. I'm a believer. Why am I got to deal with all this? Because you've been anointed to walk like a king. You've been anointed to walk like a queen. I know that you've never been trained to have to deal with those nasty things, but you got to still walk like you're part of the kingdom, like you're a queen. Come on, any queen? All right, I'll leave that one for later. All right. I told you last week that God wants to take us from naysayers to lion slayers. Again, let me get the ground running, and we're going to go into today's teaching. But I said that the lion showed up, okay? And the scriptures revealed to us, if you put up, verse number 35, I would love you forever and a day. But the Bible says in verse 35 that when the lion showed up, what did David do? He went after it, okay? So David says, when the lion showed up, he went after it. And so it reveals to us that while David was living out his life or living out his call over his life, that he had a lion show up on the scene. Come on out here, lion. Come on out here. What's up, lion? Stand right there, no problem. We were thinking about calling the LA Zoo, but we don't want nobody to freak out. You know what I mean? We'll just, all right. The lion came out. So the lion comes out on the scene. And David had this question. Right. Am I going to run from it or am I going to run to it? Okay. And so most of us, let's be honest. Come on now. Hashtag real talk. If a lion were to show up, how many would run? It's okay. We're not going to judge you. We all probably would like, oh, I'm not dealing with that. I ain't got no time for that. I'm anointed. I got a call in my life. I can't be messing with this. But this lion shows up and the scriptures tell us why this lion shows up. And it comes to steal one of the sheep. It comes to literally take something that David was entrusted to watch over. And the scripture says that this lion comes and David has a decision to make. Am I going to run or am I going to run to it? Am I going to let this steal things that I have been entrusted with? Or am I going to take down this thing that is trying to rob me of what God has entrusted me with? And we all, listen, are faced with that on a daily level. Is that we have to realize, what are we going to do? Now, bring my sheep. Where's my sheep? Come on, bring my sheep. Thank you. Come on, somebody. Here's my sheep. Hold that right there. He stole the sheep, okay? I know what some of you are thinking. That don't look like no sheep. Follow along. Come on, play along, all right? It's the best we could find. It's not sheep season, I guess, over at Walmart, okay? Okay. Well, but the lion stole the sheep, okay? And David has this decision to make. He has stolen what I've been entrusted to watch over. Okay. And so David has to make this decision. Am I going to go after it or am I going to leave it? Am I going to attack this or am I going to go for it? Now, most of us, if the enemy steals like a sheep that we're called to watch over, we'd be making up excuses for the sheep. That's a dumb sheep. That sheep's dumb. You know, good. He needed to take that one. That sheep was going to be messed up anyway. He did us all a favor. You know, all that. But David wasn't an ordinary guy. He realized, I've been anointed. Now, I reveal to you that David, as he knew he had this anointing, as we're sitting in this room, I want to correlate it to our 2017 day, is I'm not talking about you fighting Simba on a daily basis, okay? But the New Testament reveals to us the type of lions that we face. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, if you could put that scripture up for me, it tells us who this lion really is. The Bible says, stay alert and watch over and watch out for your great enemy. The who? That he prowls around. What does the Bible say there? Like a what? A roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So you and I know that what Jesus did was pull the mask on this lion and say, that's who he really is. Okay? He's really a fake. He ain't no lion, it's the devil like, trying to be like a lion. He's trying to be like the person that you should be afraid of. When the reality is, he's not the real lion, you're the real lion because you have the Lion of Judah on the inside of you according to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. Okay, I messed up, there you go, sorry buddy. Okay, really just, stay with me. Be good, lion, don't mess with me this morning, come on. I feel like just tackling joke. All right, here we go. You have those crazy thoughts. Right, anyway, we know who. Tell your neighbor. Say we know who the real lion is. Say that we know who the real lion is. But we also know that when this lion comes, that the lions that we face on a daily basis is the enemy that tries to come and steal. John 10:10. Later, Jesus reveals to us the MO of the devil, and the MO of the devil is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He is trying to steal things from you. He is trying to take things from you. Now, I want to give you your second point. Your first point, I told you, you got to run to the roar. Now let's jump into this morning's teaching. Point number two, boom, here we go. How do we go from naysayers to lion slayers? Write this down. We have to function from faith and not fear, okay? We have to learn as men and women of God. Come on, any real believers in the house. We have to function. We have to learn. If I'm going to go from a naysayer and step into an anointed lion slayer, then I have got to learn to function from a place of faith and not a place of fear. Because this whole exercise, and I want to show you here, this whole thing, and I want to prove it to you through scriptures, is that David was actually, God was training David to not move from a spirit of fear, but to move out of a spirit of faith. Because naysayers will say, I'm afraid, but lion slayers say, even though fear is in front of me, I'm full of faith that God is with me. He was full of faith that God was with them. This whole exercise, because God had bigger plans for David than this. I know sometimes we think what we're facing is a big thing, and I'm not trying to downplay it. I know it might be hurtful, it might be difficult, but I want you to know that whatever's in front of you right now is not the biggest thing that God wants to do in your life. You've got to get a revelation that this thing in front of me right now is simply the present day lion that's going to take me to the bear, which will take me to Goliath, because I wasn't born just to mess around. I was born, come on, somebody, to take down giants, but I ain't trying to skip the process. I'm trying to go through the process so God can develop a faith inside of me and not be driven by fear. Tell your neighbor, say, don't be driven by fear. Tell them, no fear, say faith, okay? Now I get a little excited. I know, pray for me. All right. But this whole exercise, listen to me, this whole thing that God was taking, you know, David through was to overcome and not be driven out of fear, but to go out of faith. To operate out of faith, because this is the quintessential question is and watch the bold faith statement in 1 Samuel 17:35. Watch this. Put this verse up there. But David said this. He said, "I went after it, I struck it, and I rescued the sheep out of his mouth." And that is a bold faith statement. He went after something that was coming after his future. And here's my question: will you go after the things God has put in front of you, or will you run away from it? And the question is, because this is a destiny, this is a purpose question. Will you operate from faith or will you operate from fear? Because see, if David never overcame fear of taking down what's in front of him, he would have never taken down the bear, he would have never taken down Goliath. God knew that Goliath was in his future, but he was taking him to overcome this fear, to not operate, but be full of a spirit of faith. Now, God, and this is for someone, God, in the season that you're in right now, God is working on your faith. No, listen to me. He's working on your faith. He is working on your faith. Because the enemy to your faith is not doubt. Because faith could not exist if there wasn't the presence of doubt. It wouldn't be called faith. It'd be called certainty. You didn't need faith to sit on your chair. You just sat on your chair. You're like, in the name of Jesus, may this chair. No, you were certain. You need faith when you're like, I'm not sure, but I'm going to go for it. The opposite of your faith is not doubt. The opposite of your faith is fear. And the enemy tries to bring fear because it seizes God's people. And I'm telling you right now, whatever it is we're facing, God is working on your faith. He is working on your faith in what God can do through you, what God can do in you, what God can do around you, what God can do when you trust him and you're a person that goes after it. Some will say, I'm a person of faith. Can I tell you what the devil's afraid of? The devil ain't afraid of you coming to church. He's afraid of you walking out that door with faith. Because you can walk in and out and be a doubter all day long. I'm not afraid of no doubters. But I'll tell you what the devil's afraid of. He's afraid of your faith. He's afraid of a real deal believer who walks out of those doors and say, devil, don't you even look at me, because I know who my daddy is. I know that I've been saved, set apart, anointed. I know that he goes before me, behind me. And if God is before me, who cares who's against me? I know that I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I wish you'd look at me. What? Come on, who am I talking to? He's afraid of your faith. In this whole thing, and I want to show you here, God was working on his faith. And it was a faith to say, I'm going to go after the thing that is being robbed from me. It was a faith of, I'm going to move into this area.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, watch this here in the New Testament, Paul writes to the Corinthian church who were in a very secular culture, the Roman culture that's very similar to the American culture. Roman culture was very, very, very powerful, influential, very philosophical, social, economical. It was, and we're still using things today in our, system of society that was from the Roman culture. And in the midst of the Roman culture, Paul the Apostle writes to the church, and I believe he's even speaking to Freedom House Church in Southern California, right here. Come on, somebody. In a nation that sometimes we're overwhelmed by so much of cultural influences. And he tells me, he says, listen to me, people of God, walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith. Walk by faith. Don't walk by what you see. Because if you walk by what you see, it'll mess by what your faith sees and hears. The enemy to your faith, watch me now, is what you see. The enemy to your faith is your sight. Because you'll see something and be like, what's God going to do with that? Don't point. Come on, somebody. You look at certain situations and you see your bank account. Look at this, Lord. You see the bill. Look at this. You see him. Look at that. You see her. Come on, somebody. You see where you live in. You see, and right away, there goes your faith. We walk by, because what you see is the enemy to your faith. And God was trying to help David. You're going to see some crazy things, David. And if you think this lion's crazy, you don't even know. But what I got set up for you, there's going to be this 10-foot Goliath. And he's going to look really ugly. And he's going to come at you. But I need you to know, David, you have been anointed to slay, baby, slay. You need to know, and you have got to have a faith. You have got to have a word, because the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, my faith is built by what I hear. That my ear gate feels my faith. This right here, this ear is your ear gate, which feeds your faith. Not this. This. That's why it's so important that you sit under the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. That's why it's so important that you guard this ear for people that try to say, hey, you can't do it. That's dumb. God, serving God. Hey, why don't you come out with us? I can't lend you my ear, because this ear is the gateway to my faith. I got to build my faith because, oh Lord, help me. I've got to build my faith because you don't know the lions that are trying to steal what God has given me. So I got to walk by. And so he says, walk by faith, okay? Walk by faith, walk by faith. Now let's go to another one. We got to know that God wants to walk by faith. But we also got to know is, listen, there are things that God gives us and there are things that God doesn't give us. What does God give you? God gives you his love. He gives you his Holy Spirit. He gives you his word. He gives you his church. He gives you his people. He gives you grace. He gives us, but watch what he doesn't give us. 2 Timothy 1:7, watch this. 2 Timothy 1:7, watch this. Go here. 2 Timothy 1:7. Look what the Bible says. Right here. Paul then writes to Timothy, he says, for God, what does it say, has not given us. Okay? What are we reading? What God has not given us, okay? The Bible says, God has not given us what? His spirit, but of love and a sound mind, right? Okay, and a sound mind. This is the things. So God is showing us, here's what I haven't given you, and here's what I have given you. And God is saying, what I haven't given you is I have not given you fear. Okay? I haven't given that to you. So if there's fear in your life, God says, who gave that to you? It's kind of like when God was in the garden, Adam and Eve, and he says, who told you that? Who told you that? Would you hear this? Which means that fear is a learned behavior in a believer's life. Which means that if fear is a learned behavior, then faith can also be a learned behavior. And if fear is learned, I'm going to unlearn this thing called fear, and I'm going to learn about this thing called faith, because I'm not called a doubter, I'm called a believer. And the Jesus, I'm called a believer. I'm called a believer. Are there any believers that came to church this morning? Are there any believers that are going to walk home this morning? Are there any believers that are going to look at that bank account statement? Are there any believers that are going to look at the lion that you're facing and they say, I'm not looking at you like a doubter. I'm looking at you as a believer. I'm going to give you 3 seconds to clap like you're a believer up in this house. Come on down. Say amen. Believe it. He said, I've given you a spirit. Now, this goes even to a level deeper. Watch this. Let's go a little deeper. The Bible says, for not God has not given us a spirit of fear, which means fear is a spirit. Whoa. The scripture is saying that fear is a spirit. Now, does that mean that like there's a fear spirit running around? No, it's a demonic spirit. So if fear is a spirit, if I'm operating out of fear, that means I'm under a different spirit, not the Holy Spirit. But don't be afraid. Fear not. Because if fear is a spirit, when I read the Bible, it says that every spirit, every demon trembles at the name of Jesus. Oh! Because see, if fear was a person, it would be volatile. You'd be like, I don't know how to deal with this person. This person, they're crazy. But the Bible didn't say fear is a person. The Bible didn't say fear was a place. The Bible didn't say fear was a thing. The Bible said fear is a spirit. Why? Because now that tells you that in the spiritual realm, I have been given dominion through Christ Jesus. And I told you, you have been anointed by Jesus. And now you can go to whatever thing and say, Jesus, I proclaim healing in Jesus' name. I proclaim salvation in Jesus' name. I proclaim deliverance in Jesus' name. And you can walk into your house, your marriage, your children and say, you might not listen to me, Spirit, but you're going to have to listen to the name that is above every other name, to the name that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and you ain't got to have a plan, a strategy, but if you ever got Jesus in your mouth, you ever got Jesus in your heart, then guess what, baby? That lion should be running from you. Somebody ought to clap like you got Jesus in your heart. Every spirit trembles at the name of Jesus. Say it with me. Just say Jesus. The Bible says every demon trembles at the name of Jesus. Just freak him out. Just walk around your house. So you don't have to be afraid of the dark. I'm not going to point anybody out, but you don't got to be afraid of the dark. Oh my goodness, turn the light on. You got to walk in that room and say, Jesus. Every demon trembles at the name of Jesus. Jesus. You got to just, God, Jesus, healing, Jesus. That's why David said, I don't have time to go to it. But he told later on, told Goliath, he says, Goliath, you come at me with a spear, sword, and a shield, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. Oh, come on now. Someone say Jesus. Now, what was the faith that was trying to be activated in David's life? Lord, help me. It was a faith of going after it, not running from it. Okay? It is a go after type of faith. A go after it type of faith, okay? This was the type of faith that God loved about David. The Lord loved this about David because later on in Acts 13, 22, the Bible says that God gave testimony of David and he said, I have found a man after my own heart. In other words, what I love about David is David knows how to go after stuff. He goes after that lion. He's so crazy. He went after that bear and he's so crazy. He went after that Goliath and he goes after my heart. And God says, I love that about David. I love that about David. So much so that the scripture says that God gave testimony of it. Put it up there, team. It's not in the notes. Put it up. Acts 13, 22. Put it up there. Watch this. I want to show you this. Completely sideways, but I want to show you. The Bible says here, Acts 13, 22. After removing Saul, he made David their king, and God testified. Someone say, God testified. Where are my church folk? If you've been in church over 20 years, where's my church folk? Come on, somebody. Where are my church folk? All right, hallelujah. A few of us in here. That's all cool. But we used to do this thing called testimony services. And back in these days, testimony services were like, we'd put the mic on the stage, and then the drums start playing, you know, and it'd be like, we're going to do a testimony service. And anybody wants to have a testimony, just testify the goodness of God. And then out there would come, you know, Sister Bertha would come up there, you know, I want to testify, God healed my hip. Hey, God healed her hip. Everybody, it's fun. It's great. That's awesome. Okay. This is showing us there was a testimony service in heaven. Michael was on the drums, okay? Gabriel was on the piano, and it was testifying, and the mic was open. And God says, hold up, I'm gonna take the microphone. Is this on? Okay. And God takes the microphone, and he says, I wanna testify. And God says, I'm gonna testify not about how good I am, but I wanna testify about how good David is. Oh, Lord. Lord. And I'm going to tell you how awesome David is. I'm going to tell you how awesome. And the Bible says, God says, he's a man after my, and God gave it. It's one thing to testify about how good God is, but it's a whole nother thing when God testifies about how good you are, how good your life is, how good. And oh, I pray that we would be those type of men and women that God says, let me tell you about my child. Let me tell you about my daughter. When everybody else ran, they ran to it. They went after that building project. They went after that lost son. They went after that lost man. They went after that lost people because they had not had a spirit of fear, but a spirit of faith. And I pray that that is said about your life, your children's life, and your family's life. I know you may not be a David, but ladies, you can be a Davina. That's talking men and women that go after the heart of God. Anybody in this place want to go after God's heart? Oh, Jesus. Lord, help me. And so if I'm so fired up about this, because this is one of my life messages. You guys know our purpose statement is to raise up a generation after the heart of God, do all of his will. This is what I believe God wants to raise up today's generation. Believers that we're after. The Bible reveals to us David's motivation for doing this. Watch this. The Bible actually tells us it was never his intention to kill the lion. But the Bible says right here, go to verse 35 if you can from your media team. It says that David went after it, and what did he do? And what did he do? He rescued. Watch this. Rescued. He struck it and rescued the sheep. Okay? So David went over there, and he was just like, give me that. David's intention wasn't to kill the lion. His whole intention was to rescue the sheep. That was his whole motivation. And the scriptures peeled it back. That David's heart was, I'm trying to rescue the sheep. In other words, David went to take back what the lion stole. You won't get it. David went to take back what the lion stole. David was like, not on my watch. I ain't gonna let no lion steal what has been given to me. I'm here to take back what the devil stole. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I believe God wants to put a divine discomfort in you to start saying, I'm gonna take back everything the devil stole. I'm gonna take back everything the enemy stole. David's motivation was, I'm not going to let the enemy just steal stuff from me, but I'm here. I'm going to take it back from what he stole from me. And he rescued the sheep. And the scripture tells us that this was his motivation, is to take back what was taken from him. Did you know that you have been given authority to take back everything Satan has taken from you? Or have you become okay with him just stealing things from you? Let me go a level deeper. Or have you even noticed that something's missing? Or have you learned just to operate on a new normal? And the enemy's just been stealing things. And that's not normal. But you let him, you don't even realize it's missing. Where did that love go in my marriage? I don't know, it's somewhere. Is it even here anymore? What happened? Where did that unity go in my family? Where did that peace go in my mind? Where did that purpose? I used to get up with purpose and drive. I used to have a vision to see my whole family get saved, but why don't I dream about that anymore? I used to think I want my whole company to get saved and my whole school to surrender to Jesus and I want my whole city and used to have dreams of revival, but now you're just living on survival. Maybe have you even noticed that nothing's missing, and you've learned just to kind of function with less sheep and less things that God gave you that he never intended, when God said, I've given you everything in Christ Jesus. But the enemy literally has been picking off one by one. He stole your joy. He stole your peace. He stole the love. He stole your family. He stole your child. And one by one, he's been picking them off. And you knew that something left, but you're like, I can't just put my finger on. I don't know. Well, if there really is something missing. But David was like, if I let this lion begin to steal one thing and I don't come back and get it, I know that he will continue to come back and take one after the other, after the other, after the other.
another after the other, but I've been called. I'm here to mess somebody's table up and to tell you, you are not a naysayer. You are a lion slayer. And I dare you to make a list of everything the devil has stolen from you and say, devil, in this new year, I'm coming back for it all, baby. I'm coming back for it all and with interest. I'm coming back for it. I'm coming back for my joy. I'm coming back for my dream. I'm coming back for my family. I'm coming back for my home. I'm coming back for my city. I'm coming back for my marriage. I'm coming back for my credit. Who am I talking? I'm coming back from my life. Are there any people up in the service that say, I'm coming back? I'm going to give you 3 seconds to let the devil know that you're coming back today in the year of grace completion and new beginning. Allow me to prophesy. Freedom House Church, we're coming back for everything the devil stole in this generation. For the purity, for the deliverance, for the breakthrough, for the healing, for the revival in SoCal and to the ends of the world. If you're down, let's go slay some lions. Let's go get back what God gave us. Oh, I'm going to give you 10 seconds. Praise Him. Y'all better put a praise. Y'all better put a praise. Y'all better put a praise. Shetere bobo. Come on. Jesus. I'm coming back. Shetere bobo sa. Oh God, we love you, Lord. Shed that emosa. This way. Yes, God. Come here. Stand right there. Can I go a little deeper? That was never David's sheep. That was never David's. Because see, the propensity of a believer is to stop fighting when what they have is good. Well, my life, see, some of you in this place, you're like, yeah, someone needs to hear that. They need breakthrough. They need to get it back. But David was like, no, I'm good. Matter of fact, I'm solid. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I'm anointed. Look, I still got the Crisco oil on my forehead. But I'm not okay with the devil taking sheep from God's kingdom. I know that's not my child. I know that's not my daughter. I know that's not my problem. Matter of fact, it ain't even my lion. Matter of fact, it ain't even my issue. But I will tell you this, is I've been anointed to not let no devil rip off God's kingdom. And if I am a king's son, then I need to get the kingdom's domain. And I don't care, but I will fight for somebody else's deliverance because I've been delivered. Anybody in this place got a call of God on your life? Anybody in this house have an anointing on your life? Anybody? There is a business person in this room right now that you have been anointed to step into dimensions and help other sheep get their breakthrough. Someone shout amen. There's missionaries in this room. There are people in this room. I know you're good, but there's a generation that's not good. If I get fired up, that's why. Yeah. I mean, we're not perfect, but why do I fight? Because there's still people in the lion's grip. Pastor, why are you like sweating, screaming? Why you do all these analogies? Why we do this as a church? Why do hundreds of people show up on Sunday to serve? Why are we doing outreaches? Why are we getting this building? It's because we are serving notice on every devil. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm coming back. Tell them, I'm coming back. How do you get back what's lost? I told you, you got to go from functioning from fear to what? Faith. Okay. Number three, I got to give you this point to keep us all on the same page because I preached it at the first service. I got to give it to the second service. Number three, write this down. How do we become lion slayers? You got to stop playing with the lion and start slaying the lion. Someone say it. Say, stop playing. No, no. Say it like you mean it. Say, stop playing. Say it like you got an attitude and you're done with it. Say it. Say, stop playing. Tell your neighbor, say, stop playing. And do with your eyebrows like this.
stop playing. This is for real. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of playing with God. I'm tired of playing with my calling. I don't want to play with my anointing. I don't want to play where God has set me apart. I ain't playing. I said, somebody say, stop playing. Stop playing. Quit messing around with what God has called you. Stop playing with the lion. Start slaying this thing. Because you know what some of us actually think? Here's what some of us think. And I say this with love and grace and humility, but the Bible says that we've got to let the Holy Spirit speak to us. And here it is. Some of us, we actually think we can tame the lion. No, I got it under control. I got it. It's all good. I tamed it. I tamed the lion. I tamed it. And we think we could tame the lion. I got under control. It's all good. It's all good. It's good, Pastor. Other people need a slay. I got it. I got it. You know, he's brrr. Come here, Papi. Oh, Lord Jesus. Come on, somebody. You see, it's hard to slay a lion when you're playing with it. I'm all up in someone's kitchen. It's all right. I'm making you breakfast, lunch. You're not going to fall asleep on me right now. Come on. We're like, it's my, you know, it's good. God, I got under control. It's all right. And we think it's good. I got it tamed. I tell it when to come out and when to go back in. And we hide it. We think we got it tamed. And some of us, I got it. Like, I can handle it. And see, this is the biggest lie that most believers believe, is that they are the exception. Everybody else is weak. I'm strong. I got it. They're all weak. They all need help. I got it. You know, it's just a few times. I mean, you know, I don't do it all day. I got it. It's under control. It's because I'm strong. So you hide it, you know, and you hide it. Some of us, you think you're slick. So you put the name of a different person to that number. So when they call, and I got it tamed. Oh, Jesus. You know, I only smoke it sometimes. I only sniff it a few times. It's not like always. I got it under control. It's good. I got it under control. I mean, I don't do it all the time, just a few times. I get a little lonely, so I'll make that one phone call. And so, you know, it's not, I got it tamed. I got it under control. It's good. It's good. But what you don't realize is that you think you have the lion tamed, but the reality is it has you tamed. And you drive with it, live with it, hide it in your bedroom, hide it on your phone, you hide it in your bottom drawer, and you think, I live, it's cool. Oh, Jesus. Right now, I could feel people's toes going like this and their shoes. And you hide it. I got it tamed. But the reality is, you don't realize about a lion, you can never really tame a lion. It has that animal instinct. And you can keep it, like you feed it. The only way you really try to tame a lion is to keep it full. They always feed it here and there. But recently there was something that took place years ago over in Las Vegas. There was a show, Siegfried and Roy, where they thought they had the lion tamed because they took care of it since a pup. And they had it tamed. They were doing shows with it, put their head in it like, hey, look at this lion is tamed. And unfortunately, and I don't mean to laugh about it because it was a tragedy, but the lion just grabbed him, threw him, dragged him off the stage, and just took him out. You know what I mean? He ended up being half paralyzed. And I don't want to laugh about it. You know, it's very, very traumatic. But the truth is, this lion at any moment will eat you up. But what you don't realize about the devil is that the devil will let you think you have him tamed so that it will attack when it's a moment that the most damage will be done, the most people will get hurt. And you know, the enemy's like, yeah, you don't got me, he got you. And he will try to take you out, like on stage in front. And you got to realize, I can't live with this lion. This thing was never meant. I'm not called to tame no devil. I'm not called to try to tame. I ain't playing no games. I ain't playing no games. games. I used to play, and I'm a player hater. I ain't playing ain't no more. I realize I've been set apart. There is an anointing on my life, and I'm not called to play. I'm called to slay. Give me that. Get out my face. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to give God praise. Okay, if you're in this place and you ain't ready to play no more, yeah, I ain't going to play church. I'm not going to play Christian. I ain't going to play around. I'm going to slay, and I'm going to do what God called me to do. Give God a praise. Would you lift your hands?
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For more information about Freedom House Church, visit us at thefreedomhouse.org.